Welcome to the Accenture MIT podcast series. Here's Daniel Jackson, professor of computer science at MIT.
In my last podcast, I told you about how a team of researchers was able to take over the controls of a modern car through its OBD port, the port that mechanics use that's located underneath the dashboard of the car. Although this does pose some worrying risks because of the possibility, as I explained, of a virus spreading through a mechanic's diagnostic tool, it still requires physical access to the car. So the big question is this: is it possible to attack a car and take over its controls without such access? As you might have guessed, because I wouldn't be making this podcast otherwise, the answer is a resounding yes. In fact, it seems that just about every remote data connection a car has with the outside world is vulnerable to attack. A typical modern car has more connections than you might imagine. Of course, there are electronic keys, and many cars have Bluetooth connections for making hands-free telephone calls. Many cars have a telematics facility that allows remote access to disable the car if it's been stolen, or to help a driver in the event of an emergency, or to upload diagnostics. These telematics systems usually use the cell phone network to connect, and many cars now allow drivers to call their cars over the telephone with their planned destination so that the car's route finder knows where you want to go without you having to enter the information when you get in the car. But there are other channels too. There are tire pressure sensors, for example, that relay the condition of the tires to the car's computers by a short-range wireless connection. And then, of course, there's FM radio, satellite radio, and GPS. All of these, for security researchers, form what they call the external attack surface and are opportunities to take over control of the car. Before I get on to these so-called external connections, it's worth noting that even some connections that require physical access might be exploited more easily than you might think. Take the car's CD player. The first discovery of the team, which I mentioned in my last podcast, was that packets sent on the internal bus are not authenticated. So a rogue CD player could take over control of the car and disable the brakes, lock the doors, and so on. Now, you might think that's not too much to worry about, but consider this. The team found that in the car they examined, a standard mid-range American car, the CD player had a vestigial updating feature that allowed the manufacturer to issue a CD which, if played, would update the software of the CD player. The software of this update mechanism would recognize a special command on the CD and then ask the user if the bits that followed should be treated as a software update. Now, it turns out that this software is itself vulnerable to attack through a standard buffer overflow of the sort that's been exploited by viruses for years. The team was able to create a CD that would update the software without asking any questions. Now, since we know the CD player can send packets on the internal bus, this means that the new software can take over control of the car. But if you were a criminal hacker, how would you get your rogue CDs into people's cars? Well, as it happens, the attack can be camouflaged by a song and packaged as a standard audio file. So all an attacker needs to do is distribute the song on the web, and then if someone downloads it and plays it on the CD player in their car, the game is over. The research team not only showed this was possible, but that they could embed the evil commands to take over control of the car in any song. They wrote a program, in fact, that takes a song and creates a new version that carries the virus. Now let's turn to the wireless connections. When you use a device like an iPod or a smartphone, it goes through a protocol called pairing, in which the device and the car exchange some keys. This is supposedly to ensure that only your phone talks to your car and not the phone of the person in the car behind you. Because of the vulnerabilities I discussed in my last podcast, a device that has been paired can attack a car. So someone can create a so-called Trojan app that runs on a smartphone and that takes over the car it's paired with. There are already Trojan apps in widely distributed applications. In August last year, for example, it was reported that a free game for the Android phone called TapSnake actually harbored a program that could track and monitor a user's location. The research team then turned to the pairing protocol itself. This turns out to be relatively easy to break. They wrote a program that generated random keys and found that they could pair with a car in times ranging from 15 minutes to 13 hours or so. Worryingly, this can be done without the driver knowing. And even if it takes hours for one car, the researchers pointed out that in a parking garage with 1,000 cars in it, you could expect to break into one car within a minute. These Bluetooth connections are very short range, though. What if you want to mount an attack from a longer distance? So the research team moved to examining the car's telematics unit. They found that the software that listens to incoming calls suffers from a buffer overflow bug. And by sending a long packet, you can take over control of this software and, through it, control of the car. Now, these packets are not sent as digital data. In order to take advantage of the wide availability of cell phone networks, these telematics units typically use voice channels and then, like an old-fashioned modem, remember those? Turn the sound into bits using an analog-to-digital converter. Again, therefore, as for the CD player, the research team was able to embed these Trojan packets in a song. So there you have it. A criminal could take over control of a car simply by calling it on the phone and playing a song down the line, all while the driver is completely oblivious to the attack. Now, the researchers did only examine one car model, but there's no reason to believe that cars made by other manufacturers or other models are any different. What's clear, then, is that modern cars are dangerously vulnerable to security attacks. How likely is such an attack, though? Why would anyone be motivated to mount one? The researchers speculated with two scenarios that illustrate how these security loopholes could be exploited. In one, an attacker uses GPS tracking to identify cars that travel between known locations. For example, between the parking lot of a large corporation and a particular executive's home. Now, telematic systems often include a hidden microphone inside the car. It's there so that the driver can talk back to an agent in the event of an emergency. With the GPS data, the attacker now identifies the cars of senior executives in the company, breaks into the car via the telematics unit, activates the hidden microphone, and streams the audio from the cabin back up the phone line, thereby enabling surveillance of any conversation inside the car. In the other scenario, the attacker, again using GPS, locates parked cars and offers them for sale to thieves. When a thief selects a car to steal, the attacker remotely unlocks the car and turns on the engine. Imagine the thief just asking, "I'm at 9th Avenue in Riverside. What models do you have to offer me within a block or two?" Are these scenarios fanciful, or are they realistic, and the kinds of attack we'll be seeing in the next few years? And might there be other motivations, non-financial ones, for attacking cars? How serious do you think the risks are, and what should be done about them? Do post your comments on my Accenture blog. I'll look forward to the discussion. Thank you.
Copyright 2010, Daniel Jackson. Music copyright 2010, Chris Bremer, from pianosociety.com.